Jesse Ferguson from Innerborough Spirits and Ales, motherfuckers. You better give some money to steal this beer right now. Patreon.com, motherfuckers.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday,
yeah,
and
sure,
we are stealing beer. I'm Augie Carton.
I am John Hall.
That's John Hall, a couple barley wines deep.
Yo.
And our accomplice is an old favorite on Justin's amazing perfect notes for this episode. He said, been on the show too many times to count. So, hi, Ben Keen.
Yeah.
How the fuck are you?
How's it going, guys?
We basically call you when you're in town and we have nobody else. Yeah. You're like our Norm MacDonald on Conan.
An old favorite, the way too many barley wines on a sweaty afternoon
That's
is
right.
a favorite.
The yeah. way, like, nothing could be better than but,
uncomfortable balls.
Speaking of being on too many times to even mention, just recently we had
Bernstein. Right?
Yeah. No, he's hosted that first year when you couldn't be bothered to come to the show. He covered your ass like 50 times.
I don't remember that.
Remember how it's a 52 weeks in a year and you were here twice?
Maybe.
50 Keen episodes.
That's cool. I was doing things, man.
That's right.
I was going to be somebody.
I was a mover. I was
Rocket
a shaker.
To the moon.
I was a mover. I was a shaker.
No, I'm just down here on
But
Earth
seriously,
with
of all the million podcasts you co-host and do, how many hand you an 05 Thomas Hardy in a bottle when you walk in the door?
First time.
We are fucking
First
fancy.
Time.
That's
yeah.
how we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so needless to say, if you listen to the show, you know I've got sugar in my veins and John's got alcohol in his because we are all fucking keyed up over here, ready to go.
So Ben,
Ben came up on a show recently with a young man named Josh Bernstein who said that you and he were starting a new endeavor. So let's just start there
because I was going to say it says former editor of Beer Advocate, which isn't
true
because you were editorial director. But
I did some editing in my day. Yeah,
sure, yeah,
it's true.
But let's move forward to this new thing because Bernstein was at that rushing to get words out end of the show when he said, yeah, me and Ben Keen are doing this thing with tourist beers. I was like, oh, okay. No, we're out of time. Sorry, get out of here. So
no,
why don't you start with...
What are we doing?
The next... So when we randomly hear
when
we need to go to Sheboygan to have a barley wine, it will have been written by you, right?
God willing,
tell us about your newest project. I want to hear what you two are doing together to reinvent writing about beer.
Yeah, so we had a conversation at the Craft Brewers Conference just this year, lamenting the state of beer media, which we've done on this show before.
We do it every day.
And
just my existence is lamenting the state of beer.
So we were thinking that there's more breweries than ever, right? And there's more interest in beer than ever, but fewer opportunities to be a beer communicator, for lack of a better word. And how could we best apply our skills in this new landscape? And so we thought...
That's a porch drinking beer right there.
Yeah.
I love Ben Keen brings me porch on a couch drinking beer every time he comes.
I get worried every time I see Ben Keen for good reason.
Lots of reasons.
For so many reasons.
Which one of your writer friends tried to poison us recently?
Oh, that was Andy Crouch.
All right.
Andy came on and brought the Sol Michelada on, the SOL, and it was poison. And like Andy really thought that he was going to kill us and like take over our listenership. Yeah. And he was looking
for a new media outlet and figured he could just kill us both in one fell swoop.
Damn close to doing it too, because you know he's a small, crafty little bastard.
He has frequently has ulterior motives.
He really does. Like he's a guy who just like you know. Like
all right, you're gonna like drinking
him.
This. So let's drink it. Let's let Ben finish his first sentence of the show.
Okay, so cutting to the chase, the idea is that across the country, tourism has been focused on wine for years and years,
and deep fried butter.
Yeah. But in the beverage space, people are hyper laser focused on wine.
Yes.
And we feel like at this point in, you know, 40 years into craft beer, so to speak, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in North America in beer in almost every state. And yet it doesn't really get the same attention. And there are plenty of places worth visiting that are still under the radar. So what we want to do is help tourism boards and destination marketing organizations highlight the best of their beer scenes and attract more tourists and kind of bring beer into the fold of the attractions that they already promote and tell people about.
Makes sense.
I like it.
So
what's the name
this
of this
isn't venture? Pitching the beer trail of
it is not
in every state. This
no.
Is, I got you.
You
explain it much better than Bernstein, by the way. From now on, you take
how
the
many,
lead.
How in many
the,
barley in wines did
yeah,
he
Josh
have?
Had like three thimbles full of beer, and he was just...
He was definitely one of the Warner Brothers cartoons at that
ben
point.
Ben Keenan. What are you guys calling this little venture of yours?
It's called Want Beer Will Travel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Doesn't Beaumont have a book with that name?
He has...
Who's Beaumont? What's
a
Beaumont?
He's a Canadian.
It is not the same because I right, thoroughly so, checked right, that fine. Out. But it is...
You Googled.
yeah, it's like the beer travel guide right. or something. I don't know.
So anyway. Just because people will have this question, we haven't addressed it yet. So former editor of Beer Advocate, so you're not there anymore.
There isn't really... There's Todd and Jason right now.
Okay, the brothers, the founders.
The brothers, the founders.
Well, when you were there, they were still putting out a magazine, which ended... I think last time you visited, we talked about the fact that there's going to be no more ink on paper, right?
Correct. That stopped
yeah, that sounds about right.
The beginning of this year.
Okay.
2019.
The beginning of so 2019. Like when I saw you at the last Extreme Beer Fest, probably.
Was I at the last Extreme Beer Fest?
I think we were up there.
Cool. I think so.
I drink a lot.
I think yeah. It was the IPA Festival.
I drink
especially
more.
It,
yeah.
It was the IPA Festival.
In December.
See?
Oh, is that, oh, that's when we introduced Sam and Jim and one
remember?
Bought the other's
yeah,
company.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Remember that time we put those two cool. people in a room and $300 million
exchanged
hands?
I worked for a
hands?
Magazine then, too, which was fun. So, yeah.
So the only person still at his job at this table from last time we all sat together
is
me, of all people? That's there's,
yeah.
There's something wrong in the world.
Well, no, Cass is still canning wine.
That's the mustache true. Is gone though.
Yeah. No, it's become like a full proper like winter beard. He's entering his autumnal phase.
He's ready for the pumpkin hay rides.
I don't know why that's so funny, but
because of barley all right. wines.
So all right, let's
so
talk.
The,
so
all
we,
these
we've
episodes
burnt,
are out of order, by the way. So Engert was literally just sitting here, but he's aired like. 3 weeks
us,
ago.
Yeah. Feeding us treacly sugar liquor.
Because he had to mention his festival. So we had yeah. to move him up in the schedule. So you're airing sometime in like January at this
perfect.
Point. So yeah.
Yeah.
So by
Lord,
then you'll have
Lord
started
knows
this
what
business
you're doing at that point. Yeah.
All right. So
yeah.
let's
I'm much
get,
more of a winter audience.
But let's.
yeah.
Keen's a winter.
Ben Keen is lovely, dark and deep.
Keen's a winter. You had a little more aubergine in your palate.
this right, is
so,
very
so
very quickly
one.
Becoming a Patreon episode.
No. I can still skate. All right, so let's talk about Glass One because that'll refocus us, recenter us. What brings us together on Steal This Beer is a candid conversation of beer, what it is, not what we thought it would be, not what travel article we read to get us to it, not what we were told
what travel
secondary
bureau
value
we worked
would
with.
Be.
Yeah.
But far more importantly, what it is and what it's doing in glass. Facilitate that. John and I drink blind out of opaque black glasses. Ben brought the beer. Justin poured it. Sprightly. Woo. Smells like lager. Feels like it's got a little tiny bit of acidity to it.
It also feels like it has like a little bit of like a grapeness to it, like a little bit of like a grape must, or even like a touch of like fresh bread.
Yeah, like if I was at Plan B and Evan said, here's the one that's going to come out in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's what that tastes like. Right? It's got that kind of.
But sprightly is a great word for it because it has
yeah,
that
sprightly.
Sort of effervescence to it. It has that.
It's light. It's
yeah.
This is one of those beers where in the backyard at the place now, I've been grilling clams. Just throwing clams
really?
On the
Look
grill and just like letting them open
you
up.
You know you're not actually at the beach.
I understand that.
Your part of Jersey is not what they identify as the shore on MTV.
Yeah, I'm also
okay,
I'm also
sure.
allowed to do whatever I want in my
not
own backyard.
Not Jersey. We got rules. There's
now,
boundaries.
First of all, nobody has ever said that about New Jersey, that
yes,
there are
have.
Rules.
Yes, we have.
All right.
Fly into Newark, smell the air, go home.
Also, so this would be a beer that like if I would pour with some of those because I think yeah. it like it lend a little bit to the saltiness. It lend a little bit to the savoriness. It's sort of like a fun finger food beer is the way that I would describe it, because it has so much going on with it.
I'm going to food geek on you here.
All right, geek on me. Lay it on me, cheese man.
I'll see your clams and raise you.
But
it's
oyster.
Interesting because I like your roasted clams, but I wouldn't put this with clams on
the
half shell.
I say grilled.
Yeah, that's roasted. You know they roast in their shell, right? You put them on the grill and you wait till they open and you take them off. The meat has never touched fire. They're roasted. Moving on.
Yes, moving on.
Anyway, but what I'm saying is so I wouldn't put those clams on the half shell, but I like them with the roasted clams. And the way I'm going to describe the difference is oysters, Atlantic versus Pacific, right? Atlantic oysters taste very salty. They are a briny thing from France to Maine to Florida. They're just super salty. Whereas on the West Coast, they end up a little more cucumbery and a little more creamy.
Uh-huh.
And I tend to, for most of my drinking, like the salty Atlantic ones.
Yeah.
But with this beer, I think the creamier version would do better. So your roasted, less salt water and more kind of...
melony.
Proteiny,
kinda.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But you know what I mean? Yeah. So I agree. I 100% agree with you. But when you say clams, I don't know that this wouldn't disappear behind a very salty thing, which would be a clam on the half shell. Does that make sense?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. the ones that I get at ShopRite don't typically...
What I love about this is I feel like I could...
Like, you my mouth is
right,
watering.
So now we're back to not being from the beach. Do they have clams at ShopRite?
Yeah, of course they do.
Shut up.
Yeah. No, you get them on discount. It's awesome. Yeah.
Discount?
Yeah. No, you get discount clams at the ShopRite in Menlo Park. And, it's
you're touching on one of my favorite jokes I've had to explain to people a million times when they've invited
the
me
Easter
to...
Easter Bunny as...
Not a half-price sushi. They're like, it's all you can eat sushi. I'm like, never bargain hunt for raw fish. Never. Just don't be that person. Like, just move the fuck
up. I was just saying that to screw with you. We got a pretty good fishmonger where...
I would hope so. It is Jersey. Anyway, I like best
Jersey
about this
episode.
There's no Seattle. Too.
Are you coming to hang out again? Are you going to come down to the house? I took Ben to a couple of Jersey breweries the last time, and I need to take him to better breweries this time.
That's
yeah.
mean, you guys. I don't want to know.
Yeah. We went to some place.
But let's finish talking about the beer. Oh, were you in mine?
Nope.
Right on. There's another brewery in Minicon. Somebody should tell me these things. But anyway, so what I like best about it, so that you will never be separated in my brain from the couch on a porch drinking. But if it was a humid part of the world rather than your northern New York state
62
place,
today,
this
yeah.
would be fucking perfect for sitting on the couch and drinking on the patio, right? You could keep a bucket full of 750s on ice and just keep drinking them all day.
You think these come
I don't even
750s?
Think you're going to get fucked up. I think this is a 750.
I'd
think
love
it's
if this came in 12 ounces. I'd love if this came in like a 12-ounce bottle.
Okay. I don't taste packaging yet. I haven't advanced that far. Someday I hope to. Hey, look, it's 750.
You should sign up for my airport seminar.
Wait, that's weird. The shape within the sock looks like an Orval shape, and I've never seen a 750 of Orval. If you Orvaled you, I'm going to be so excited.
For me, I would take both of your suggestions. There's a beautiful park in Seattle called Golden Gardens. It overlooks Elliott Bay. And the Sound, and out towards the Olympic Peninsula. It's the only, I think, one of two parks in Greater Seattle where you're allowed to have an open fire.
Wow.
And I would take a bottle of this.
Just one?
Yeah, maybe a couple, depending
I feel like
on how many people.
It's super low ABV, right?
It's fairly low, yeah. And I would sit at sunset with the bonfire going and some friends, and I guess probably several bottles of this.
I like drinking this.
And
I can drink a lot
of really
this.
Enjoy it, yeah.
But the only problem with that story you just told, writer and creator of fiction, you just suggested there was sun in Seattle. So let's just ignore that.
There
move
is.
On. We'll just let that pass. Three days a year.
It's
3 days a year.
About 5 months. But we don't like to tell other people.
Oh, is that
about
green
it.
Glass?
It's a green glass. Too, yeah. Oh.
Everything about this beer is right. Anyway, what the fuck
here
is
we
it?
Go.
This
come
is
on.
From South Carolina? No, North Carolina.
Charlotte.
Resident Culture.
Oh,
this
I like
is
those guys.
Tell them what it is, Ben.
Because
yeah,
Justin
can't
job.
Be bothered. It is a weird Orval shaped bottle, too, right?
It's a relatively new brewery that I just tried today. And it is a wild fermented Helles lager, is how they describe it. 5% alcohol.
That's the beer I've been making. I've been telling you about forever.
I need to sober up, get in a car, and go down and visit this place and talk to these guys.
Yeah, it's great.
That's cool.
2101 Central Avenue, Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's exactly what it should be.
We should see what it's called. It's called Wild.
A little sour, right?
It's called Wild Light.
It's a little bit pilsnery.
A little bit sour.
I really Hella style wild lager, bottle conditioned with the house mixed culture.
So I'm working on a beer like this.
I would like to add that the brewer work at Russian River. His name is Chris. Yeah. He's a customer.
Oh, we got a little chime in from Pumpkin Rides over here.
I'm just saying, they know a thing or two about mixed fermentation.
Yeah.
You know what I like that you come on and you just like have nicknames for everybody.
Right, chicken bone.
I love that every time chicken I throw bone, a tasting note, yeah, Keen makes it
bones
stick
and
right
pumpkin
away.
Rides. Yeah.
Pumpkin Rides, Chicken Bone, the millennial and I were out drinking the other night. That's right, Christian? But
wow.
Well,
thanks, Ben. Thanks for coming by. It's
thanks
been a great
for doing
episode.
That. No, no. Talk to me about how you got that there. Like, so... Why do you know about this beer? There's no way this goes far. I mean, there's still Ironheart.
People are right here in New York City.
Yeah.
It comes up here?
Yeah. Before I came here, I went to a spot in Alphabet City called Alphabet Beer Company.
Yeah.
ABC.
Zach Mack. Shout out to Zach Mack.
Zach Mack has run for a while.
Shout out to
Zach Bernie's little brother. And he knows the guys behind this brewery and poured me... their IPA, which I thought was very good. And so when I saw they had another bottle in the fridge, I was like, yeah, let's give it a whirl. I have not tried this beer before today.
Do you like it, though?
I imagine you would like this a lot. Yeah.
You said it's 5%, or am I just making that hells in my head?
I think it's 5.
It doesn't say on the bottle what it is, but...
I think on the front.
On the front?
Circles don't have fronts.
It's tiny. I think it says 5%.
You need to do this prep before we go on.
And you usually bought this 15 minutes before he walked over here.
Anyway, I like it a lot. Thank you. Yeah, what's the name of the company again, Cass? Who writes your checks?
Resident Culture.
Thanks, Resident Culture.
I've been,
that's a badass
personally,
beer.
The summertime, I've really been seeking out beers that are really interesting but lower in alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like the day I described for that couch is a North South Carolina day, right? Like if you live down there, I imagine you should drink a lot of this beer in the summer.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd hope so.
Humid.
I mean, yeah.
It's a beer that stands up to the humidity. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else have you discovered in your living in Seattle phase of neat little shit like this? What out there has come across your thing where you'd be like, wow, that's a cool little fucking weirdness that more people should completely obfuscate style with?
The beer that would be probably similar to this that I tried this summer is from Garden Path Fermentation.
Okay.
I know nothing about them.
That's Ron Extract.
Yeah,
who used to be at Jester King.
And his
wife. Did you say a person's name?
Yeah.
Ron Extract.
Yeah, his name is Ron Extract.
I thought you said Brown Extract, which would be something you could brew with.
No.
I was like,
but I said Ron.
He was the founding brewer at Jester King.
So he worked with Jeff Stuffings early on, and then he moved up. And they're right down the road from Chuckanut.
From the South Nut.
From the South Nut.
Unfortunately named South Nut.
The South Nut, yeah.
Is that the left if you dress left and the right if you dress right?
But one of the great lager brewers of America, hands down.
So Ron and his wife Amber opened this place called Garden Path, and they have a 3.5% mixed fermentation farmhousey beer that's called A Little Bit of Horsin' Around. That is a fantastic name, and B, a delicious low alcohol beer. And I would drink that every damn day if they made enough of it.
That's awesome. Why don't they make enough?
They're tiny. I mean, they're maybe 2 years old. And it's just, I don't know. I think they might have someone run the tap room, but otherwise it's just...
But it's like a lager beer? Like it's a proper two-style lager beer?
No,
I think possibly...
Chuckanut is lager. They do farmhouse.
Okay. All right, I got you.
They do get their wort, though, from Chuckanut, don't
correct.
They?
Correct.
Yeah.
Because you know Le Petit Prince from his old
places. I almost brought that
today. Hands down... One of the most drinkable versions of these beers we're discussing in the world. That
totally.
When we were up at Trillium's, what's it called? The field trip the other day?
Trillium's Beer Fest.
Yeah. And Jeffrey had that on. the Petit
thing.
Prince. Yeah.
And he
it
said
was
he
just
didn't.
This respite from everything else, from all of the pastry stouts of like, here's toast and nut, coke, banana.
I brought a pastry stout.
Yeah.
So I was like, Jeff,
so
can
all
you?
The brewers and like the real beer drinkers were lining up at Jester King and just being like, I just need
but
Petit Prince.
Anything else.
But yeah, yeah. So that's. Again, if everybody made one of these in their smallest tank regularly, I think we'd all be better.
The world would
drinkers.
Be a better place.
Yeah, I definitely think the whole world would drink better. If every town I went to, I could be like, what's your tiny little sour thing?
So
yeah.
can I jump in on this? No. Because the
it's
world,
Ben.
The
he doesn't
beer
like
world,
talking to you.
The, yes, he does. The beer world as a better place, right? So you don't have a magazine right now, and I don't mean that in sort of a, you know, ha-ha way, because neither do I. But
wow, this is whiny as fuck. Keep talking.
No, but I'm curious of if you were signing stories right now for a magazine, what do you think like we need to be paying attention to make the beer world a better place? Like what? Because you keep your finger on the pulse and you're paying attention to everything.
You haven't had enough barley wines because you're asking like serious questions.
Yeah,
right?
No, he just put it.
I do that for most of these shows. Like, what do you want from me? Like, you know, like
I want more Augie questions.
That's right. Yeah. Mine are the ones people talk about when they're drinking.
Yeah, I think
mine are the ones that people say that's a really good question.
Mm. Do you taste this beer? It tastes like crude. Keep talking.
Yeah, I think these sorts
drink
of
a lot
beers
of it.
Like
it's really good.
People who have sought out mixed fermentation and are doing interesting things with it, intentional interesting things with it, I would say.
Yes.
Good point.
I love Big Keen.
Those are great qualifiers, though. You have to have that.
I think like that isn't something that people have published a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we had this whole... There's like the older generation of beer writers that likes to pound the Bible about session beers, and
the Bible, huh?
To an extent, I get it. The beer Bible.
The beer Bible.
Jeff Allworth started the whole session campaign.
Jeff Allworth is just like an angry old man.
If only somebody wrote a beer Bible.
And I get it to an extent, but I feel like, you know, they were talking about a very narrow definition of what a session beer is.
Yeah.
And I think like. Stories or articles about flavorful beer that you could drink several bottles of that is expressive and, you know, kind of has a sense of place or, you know, maybe it's a, talking about Washington, maybe it's a low alcohol fresh hop beer or something, you know, like there's so many ways you could go with it besides like English style milds and whatnot.
Sure.
I think that would be a better place for beer geeks to spend some time.
Yeah. All right.
I mean,
well, good. Publish it.
Well, I'm gonna ask John's question exactly the same way, but a little different. Because I like this idea of your new business, and I want to see what it brings to my attention.
Okay.
But as you guys roll out this business plan and do that, I imagine you've got these dream places like this would be an easy one to write. This would be a cool one to write. Like if we could convince so-and-so to bring us there to talk about, this would be an unwritten one. This would be a cool-ass one. This would be an easy one. And please leave out everywhere that's existed for 25 years. Like don't say Boulder, Denver, Portland, Seattle.
I don't think they need
Santa Monica. You know what I mean? But outside that, as the world goes from 1,500 breweries to 8,000 breweries,
yeah.
Where are the pockets that you're like, oh, if we get these guys to agree to let us write stories, I'll both be sharing interesting information and enjoy writing the piece. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Metuchen, New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey.
There's
for
a Metuchen,
sure,
New Jersey?
No. I don't think you should be touching anything in New Jersey. Yeah.
We got permits.
I think we've been interested in talking to... for lack of a better word, sort of less mature beer scenes than your Denvers, your Portlands, et
even cetera. In this day and age.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think that there. I last week actually spent a week in Nova Scotia, which has almost 60 breweries in the province.
Holy shit! How many people are in Nova Scotia?
Less than a million people. It's
how much less than a million? quite a bit.
At least one.
But
I'm just wondering if he can quantify.
I was just helping you with math.
Thank
most
you.
Of those
this
breweries,
side means at least one.
Uh-huh.
Most of those breweries are, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. And there's a lot of excitement about beer. There's some places doing super interesting stuff. Talking about this beer in particular, there's a brewery called
Beer 2?
What's
You're
that?
Not allowed to talk about Beer 2 yet.
Oh, okay.
We
haven't discussed
it.
Talking about the previous
it.
Beer.
Okay, fine.
there's a brewery called Two Crows that does a lot of stuff in that vein, and they're the only one in the whole province. But there you have, like, this kind of brand new beer scene where a lot of people are still drinking amber ale and ESB, and yet there are people pushing the envelope and coming up with really cool, challenging things.
But a mature scene is when there's still the guys that are drinking amber ale because there's merit to amber ale, right? You know what I mean? Like,
sure, yeah. Sure.
Like, the immature scene is the one that's chasing its own tail. The immature scene, the one that's like, oh, I like this flavor, give me more of that. The mature scene is, oh, that's very cool what you've done, and now I'm going to have this, and now I'm going to have this. You know what I mean? Like, so
to,
that speaks
to a
maturity beyond 5 years.
To a
but
degree,
so does
but
60 breweries supporting a million people.
960,000 people. I just looked it up.
So 40,000 less.
All right.
That
I mean it in the sense
accuracy.
That like there are
and we helped
my
you.
Stock and trade.
There are a handful of breweries that started in the like late 90s with your amber ales, with your kind of British style IPAs that are still making those beers and haven't changed. And then there's a bunch of new breweries that have opened up in the last 5 years that are mixing things up in a big way.
Okay. Very cool.
I happily, speaking to, you know, the ADD-ness of some beer scenes.
Some beer writers you're looking at?
Not a single pastry stout.
Wow.
Not a single pastry stout on tap. I went to 20 breweries.
I got nothing else these days. This is all I have. Please don't take this away from
me. Not a single pastry stout. Do you want me to go up there and teach them how to do it?
This guy, yeah,
it's not
yeah,
hard.
I think
it's not hard.
Yeah.
Were you like, my kingdom for a maple syrup?
No.
Do they have maple syrup?
You just like orange parachute in and just like
my parachute is tangerine. But yes, I will. And I will quickly give them a lesson in adding lactose to
everything.
Fucking
everything, yeah.
Anyway.
Hi.
All right, so let's talk about this beer. John, let's you have to go first, and Justin, you have to let him talk this time. describe this beer to me with every word you can think of.
There's a lot of words for this beer.
I want them.
It is a little bit wine-like. It has a little bit of like a fun white grapey characteristic to it, which I'm liking. It's a little bit dry on the finish as well. It has some nice effervescence to it. But this is, you used the word sprightly earlier on one of the beers that we had, and this to me encapsulates that a little bit better. It is. Yeah, I think that this
there
is
so much bass to this beer, in my opinion. I mean, the sound bass, not the.
But there is like a really just a fun liveliness to this beer that it could go in any number of directions. But it is largely Venice in my mind as the way that it's going to go. And yeah, this is.
Do you remember when?
Probably
when that bottle of sparkling wine from Vermont showed up on the show.
Yes.
And I called it a sparkling wine even though I thought I was drinking beer.
Uh-huh.
And talked about its yeast character being the Krug house yeast character.
Yeah.
This has that yeast in it.
Okay.
I still don't know what yeast that is. I don't know where they get it. Krug wouldn't share it, but it's a champagne yeast that accentuates. It's so hard to explain. It's like just the crust of brioche. Like, it's so hard to explain where this.
But there's a little bit of, like, an appliness to this
as
well.
I was
going to
say,
right?
Yeah, there's kind of green apple to me.
Yeah.
But that's.
But
I'm
not as
I'm,
a flaw.
But I'm
like,
talking
the
about,
BJCP nerds.
No,
like,
but I'm talking 100% about. It's almost a woody characteristic, but it's 100% born of yeast. And the reason I wanted you to describe it to me is because it's so much like it. When I have trouble describing the wine to people, I wanted to steal words from you. Uh-huh. And the only word you gave me was wine, which is really bad when describing wine. But the only outlier character I have is there's some persimmon fruit to the overall fruit profile. But there's this thing, and it's definitely born of yeast. And if I could recreate this, I would make, like, if whoever made this teaches me how to do this with just four ingredient beer, I would make something that has this quality all the time. I adore this. And what's funny is, I purposely age some wines that aren't meant to be aged, so they'll show this character. And I was hoping you'd give me a word to describe.
Would it be fair,
it's
though?
It's a yeast thing for sure, but it smells like oak to me.
But there's also
like
a little
vanilla
bit of a mustiness to it. Like, yeah. There's a green apple mustiness to it, which is not off-putting in that way. You hear musty and you're like, oh, it's old and stale. But it doesn't have that because it does have a lot of the vibrancy to it. And as it opens up a little bit more, I'm really sort of finding myself drawn to it. And I'm drawn to very much like the dry tannins that come off of it at the very end of it. And this is...
But while still being acidic and lemon meringue and
persimmon. Yeah, no, it had... That's what... When you were saying use the words, and it's all of the words. Like, this is
one
of those
things.
No, I
was only
looking
for one word, which is that thing I can't describe well.
Then work harder.
So in the champagne... If we all drank champagne, I could say secondary characteristics. I could say that, and people would know exactly what I meant. Because champagne is primary, secondary, and tertiary. Primary is all about acidity and steel and vibrancy.
Yeah, but you
secondary,
talk about this on your other
secondary are these rounded, let's say, roasted apple things. You guys are saying apple, so it's like a roasted red apple, not like biting into an apple. That's secondary, and that's what's going on here. And then tertiary are those kind of brioche sweet with a little bit of like lime spritz on it.
But there's also a little bit of like...
So to people that speak that language, I can say it's very secondary right now and they'll get it, but I'd like to be able to describe it to other people.
Yeah, but speak
more. I was looking for that help here because whatever this is, I will learn from, but I was hoping to grab a new adjective.
Yeah, keep looking. But there's also a little bit of like a savoriness that comes with it as well. Seriously, this is all I have. This is all I have.
It's my favorite thing of the week. All right, so...
And your clams.
Let's just reveal it, because I want to get...
Yeah, but I...
ShopRite clams.
But I need this.
What is it?
Oh, we got another green bottle.
Uh-huh.
Yay, green bottle.
This is from Separatist Beer, which used to be Soul Beer. We've had Joe on the show.
Oh,
he's
wow.
From
Easton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
If you don't know anything about this beer, I'm going to strangulate you.
It's called Premium, and it is also a wild Pilsner lager.
Yeah. Oh. So you brought back-to-back wild Pilsner lagers?
Ben's got a little bit of a theme going on.
Do you know... I know he's calling it wild. He definitely pitched that. Do you know what he pitched?
I don't know.
Because he doesn't have a cool ship, right?
No, but Justin knows because he did his research.
But he still rents space? He's still kind of nomadic brewing, right? Did he finally open a place?
He opened something in...
Cass knows.
He does have a separate facility where he does a lot of wild fermentation these days.
Okay.
Any contract brews, we do not.
Oh.
Have you
so
thought
you
about
just
it?
Know this at a loving
I've
fun?
I've been to the place where he holds the wood.
It's, all right, so where he holds the wood?
Yeah.
Have you let him hold your wood?
That's an interesting turn of phrase there, Cass.
And then he's got the beer bar.
Cass, I'm going to have to explain to you what holding wood means every other time.
He's got the place where he holds the wood and also the place where he makes the beer. So, yeah.
This is just as classy as I remember it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I got
to be fair,
we used to
be highfalutin, but then you said drinking in a couch on a porch and called him chicken bone.
Yeah,
and we've never come
true.
Back.
Yeah.
We've never come back. But so here's the thing: there's a bit of ropiness to it, which would be my critique of it by style. But I love whatever that smell is, and I really
did.
Want
you
to
say
figure out
how ropiness?
Ropiness. There's a bit of ropiness to it,
and that's like
on the palate.
Thickness, viscosity?
It's a viscous, kind of oily thing in the middle of bread ferments.
I'm not going anywhere near
But
this.
The good news is if you own it, it'll wait. If you hold Cass's wood long enough, it will. That ropiness will dry up.
What Patreon level is that? Where you get to hold Cass's
We're
wood
We're starting
long
a new
enough,
one.
Yeah.
I'm almost sure that's free if you drink it in New Jersey.
Who likes canned wine?
Fucking who brings barley wines on the first show?
I know.
God
and
damn
it. And also, it was 3 weeks ago. We've just been sitting here for 3 weeks.
Slowly metabolizing.
So, Keen, you haven't told us why you're in town.
Yeah, why are you here?
I'm in town to see lovely people like you.
Stop it.
No, right, really, why are you
he
here?
He texted me foremost. 4 hours ago when Justin told him he was coming on the show. He's like, hey, I'm in town. I was like, I know.
But my sister-in-law is getting married at the end of the week.
Oh, that's cool. Wonderful. That's a good reason.
Mazel tov.
Well, then, thanks for making time for us. That's cool. Yeah. That's much better than you're here promoting something.
Yeah.
Good luck on the new business.
What do you have to promote?
Good my luck body. On the new I'm almost at the point of selling my body.
I think start with the
also,
blood.
Also, last night
start with the blood. Yeah. Then let somebody hold your wood.
Can I just share?
Sell that.
Can I just share an anecdote from yesterday?
Oh, sure, please.
So I'm staying in a hotel in Koreatown. This would be real fast.
I
I'm walking back. To the hotel
literally
after dinner.
Every Korean
it's like
town hotel.
32nd and 5th Avenue or something?
30 seconds is fast.
Yep. 30 seconds at Broadway.
Justin knows this a little too Korea well.
Town, this will be real fast.
And
30
Korea
seconds
town
or
knows
less.
Justin. Yeah.
I'm walking back from dinner with my wife. This guy walks up behind us. Excuse me, sir. We're ignoring him, but he won't
stop. He has your cell phone in his hand.
Yeah, he has my cell phone and my wallet. No, he won't stop trying to get my attention. So I turn to look at him, and he says two things to me. Number one, you're gorgeous. Second, followed by, I also like heroin a lot. And then he walked away.
Seattle. They can smell Seattle on you. It's literally the heroin capital of grunge rock 1991.
So, you know,
well,
that's all
thanks for listening.
Happy to be back in New York.
Welcome back. Yeah. And we're happy to have you, hey, as our
you
as our locals have shown you. All right, quick, read us a letter, motherfucker.
It's a long one. John's going to hate it.
Yay. John hates it. I'm happy.
It's called Fermentation Lab. So, Augie, what actually happened in the NOMA Fermentation Lab in Copenhagen? I'm curious to hear what ferments were unique and
Augie held some wood.
Specifically, what
it was
were a
all
few
in glass.
Specifically, what were a few of the things or ideas that have the most potential to use in beer? I recently used a lacto fermented and fruited honey as the bottle conditioning sugar for a mixed ferment saison, and it turned out great. Blackened fruit also seems to be an interesting and obvious way to go, but the effort and time required to make enough beer for that would be difficult. Cheers, Matt.
All right. So first of all, so did Matt identify himself at the top? And
yeah,
did
Matt
he say
F. I said I did say
And
it.
Did he say Kennedy, my man?
No, he didn't.
All right, so the letter is disqualified. Thanks very much for listening.
No one need
we'll
answer this
next
letter.
Week.
Yeah. Since he forgot to say, Kennedy, hold my wood.
I almost didn't read it.
No, what's the new thing that we just started with?
The barley wine episode?
Hop burn? What do we call it?
Hop creep.
Hop creep.
Kennedy, my hop creep.
Kennedy, my hop creep.
Yeah. All right. All right. What they did was convince me.
By the way, Cass just started playing World Series of Poker over here.
Holy shit, Phil Hellmuth. Holy shit, Phil Hellmuth. You need a hood and a turtleneck to round that out. Literally, who draws on 2-7 unsuited? That guy. So I'm going to say this. They inspired me to keep doing what I hoped they would do, which is 2% by weight lactoferment, salt, lactoferment, everything, and decide if you want to use it or not.
That's salt water?
That's it. No, just salt by weight. So whatever you're going to pickle, just 2% by weight, salt, put it in a thing, see where it goes, and have fun with it. And it's... The book gave us that liberty. I've actually been doing that with a lot of these different sours we're trying to do, where I'm souring the fruit first and then adding it, hoping to take sugar out of the equation and add some depth of flavor there, which is why I went in the first place. And basically, they just convinced me that that I should be doing it to everything, that literally any fruit we buy, if a farmer walks in with strawberries and we just did a strawberry. Well, you pickle it. You lacto-ferment the... So we just did one where we did a Koji fermentation on barley, brewed a beer out of that.
On barley?
So we Koji'd the barley, then brewed with that, and then added lacto-fermented strawberries as the fruit addition to that beer, and then pitched Brett to dry out everything that was still alive. It's specific to a site, and they'll sell it, and don't worry about it. But
sounds... super interesting.
But, so this one we had done prior to going over there, but when I went over there, and they do things like they tell you, and if you've read the book, it sounds like he's read the book.
Yeah, he mentions the book.
They explain to you why they think yellow peas are the right thing to ferment for their garum instead of all the other things you would garum. and they make a good case. But basically, they discovered that they made the case after they had the discovery, right? They were just fucking fermenting things. And they'd be like, oh, I like that one better than that one. And then they'd go down that path.
Right.
And the day spent in the lab, like any day spent around a great chef, you don't walk out with a recipe. You walk out with an approach. And the day in the fermentation lab inspired me to just keep fucking throwing jars of shit. And we bought a very expensive vacuum sealer. Basically, any fruit we bring in the brewery to brew with, we take 20 pounds of it, you know, lacto-fermented, throw it in these packs in the freezer and get back to them when we want to play with them at different scales. But there hasn't been a fruit that's come in the brewery since I went there that we didn't do it with. And I would guess 95% of that we'll throw out because it's ridiculous. But the ones that work... So it's especially in those little beers you want to drink with food, which is I'm always kind of doing acidity to beers because I want them to pair better with food.
Yeah.
I don't want them to taste like guava. I want them to suggest guava. And this seems to be a way to add depth to that level of very lightly flavored, right? It's guava-ish, and there's this other wrinkle to that. So when it does get warm and you're at the bottom of a 750, it's not just still tasting like warm fruit juice. Something's changed.
Yeah.
That seems to be something I can benefit from this lesson on. And, you know, it's just all they did, all standing there with them, was like, it's almost like if you took it serious enough and had the time, you would never throw out scraps again. Yeah. You would just toss them in salt, throw them, wait 3 weeks, taste it, and be like, oh, that fucking worked. What was in that? Leeks and fennel? Quick, let's pickle some leeks and fennel. And the nice thing about Renee and his whole team is they only throw shit against the wall to see what works because they're reinventing modern cuisine through a very old lens. And they're inspirational in that way, and that's what we keep playing with. What did he say? He said he lacto-fermented some honey. So basically,
mango
he made,
and honey, or something.
Right. Yeah. So basically, he made that beer Evan brought on. Remember that water honey beer he brought on? That was like my favorite beer this year.
Yeah. Justin refolded this letter like 19 times.
Well, later on, you're gonna have to pick a color and a number, and he's gonna tell you your fortune.
Yeah.
Are you not paying attention?
It's a mash note. I kind of love it. Yeah. That's what Justin does.
So that's what came out of it. That's what came out of it.
All right.
And approach and technique and a lot of technology envy. That fermentation lab has toys that Carton Brewing, like until you're Budweiser, you can't afford the toys Noma has in their fermentation lab. Like they have easily $1 million equipment. Cool. On a counter for like, let's see what happens if we make this soybean really loud first. Like they've got everything you want to play with, so they're good on them. They're great. And if you get the chance, go to that restaurant because they are.
And they got a book out now. You can read.
Well, that's what he's referring to. Yeah. As am I. I had that book before I went to Noma.
I thought it just came. Yeah, but it came out around the same time.
Augie gets things before everybody else. We all have copies of your book before you have a copy, Justin.
But mine copies? Has no scratch and sniffs in it.
No, the new book.
Justin Kennedy's Scratch and Sniff Guide to Hard Seltzer.
Wait, the new book doesn't have
scratch
in it?
No.
Wait, you didn't
What's
do
your new book?
White
it's called a thousand Things
oh my
You
God,
Should Do
you
Before You Drink.
If you haven't written the Scratch and Sniff Hard Seltzer book, you are just walking away from money.
Every single hard seltzer smells like a scratch and sniff.
Bernstein crapped it out this weekend. It's fantastic.
All right, I feel like that's the best exit cue ever.
Good night, everybody. Patreon.
Thank you for making time for us around your brother-in-law-to-be's bachelor party.
Yeah,
both. Yeah,
are you going
sure.
to the
Thank
you
me.
Going to the bachelor party?
No,
of course. Can he we is. Come?
He's Uncle Ben.
He's Uncle Ben.
You can come to the after party.
Woo! Where's the after party?
It's kind of close to Victory.
La Parker Meridian.
Perfect. Yeah, we're all we're all going. We're gonna do a live show from there. Justin's gonna set it up.
From Victory Brewing.
I also like heroin.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Patreon us, write us.
Wait. So. What? You're still a business in development. There really is nothing for you to promote, right? I'm not running over that.
Nope.
What was your last book they should buy off Amazon for their Kindle?
It's 5 years old.
Yeah, go hike the Appalachian Mountains.
So no one buys books anymore right. Also is another right. Little...
It's called...
My Netflix
ben
series
Keen
is
hikes.
Called...
I love it.
I'm in.
Junkies on Couches with Ben
Junkies
Keen.
On Couches.
It's called You Gorgeous, Ben.
Wigged out on Wild Ales.
You're very good looking. You're a very good looking man. And I also love heroin. All right, so tell them how to give us money. Thank them for giving us money.
Do it, Justin.
Patreon.com/steal this beer. You can send us a letter at stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com. Facebook, all that. Yeah.
All right, Augie's leaving.
And just cash if you come down to Treadwell in the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, just
just throw some cash.
Like, we've actually had guys who have like come down and like sat at other tables and watched us and then left in severe disappointment when they see like how this live thing actually goes off, you know. So that's a lot of fun. All right. Augie left.
Is Kennedy, this the thank after you. Show? I don't know.
Cass, thank you. Ben, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Get at us, y'all.
Cheers.